You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Everyone, Bear Bets is back for the final time during the football season. I'm your host, the Bear, Chris Flake. Jeff Schwartz will join me shortly. We figured we've been appreciative all year long of everybody downloading and checking us out on the YouTube and listening and the interaction on Twitter, which we aren't necessarily always able to get back to. But we figured let's call this episode Bear Mail. Let's take all we collected some of your thoughts, some of your questions. Some of your opinions as well, and we figured, you know what, let's Jeff and I have some fun with some of the questions that you reached out with, and if you got anything else that maybe wasn't covered during the show, reach out to us before the game, or you know, at any time. And now the football season's over, we can do our best.
I love this idea.
Yeah, so do I.
Yeah, have the people ask us what they want to hear.
Exactly.
There's a lot of some Super Bowl stuff we've covered a little bit already, but we're going to expand on. And then obviously some off-the-wall questions. I love the off-the-wall questions. It's my favorite ones.
Exactly. The ones that you don't necessarily have something off the top of your head, you need to like dig and like go through the old like file cabinet and think a little bit to the situation and dig in. So hopefully we had a couple of those as well. It should be fun.
Let's do it.
Let's do it. So the first one is from Taco About Me. Well, before we get to that question, we had tacos yesterday for lunch. And
they were delicious,
they were
right?
Delicious.
I told you.
They were
I'm not going to go back there today.
You usually, like, when you were so high on them, I was worried that we were going to get, like, an over-promise, under-deliver. I usually like to under-promise, over-deliver. You over-promise, but it over-delivered.
They're incredible, right?
Incredible.
And then you got the spicy shrimp, you got the ceviche, afterwards.
Yeah,
that kind of lit you up a little bit.
That lit me up for a little while, but yeah. Nice little taco truck over on La Cienega.
It was cute. We were sitting in the car, the window steamed up because we were eating hot tacos in my dad's car, and then we were just like, it steamed up. It was pouring rain. I mean, it rained a good. I saw a tweet that it rained 12 inches at UCLA yesterday, which is pretty remarkable. So
yeah, well, the two East Coast guys came and brought all the rain to LA. So yeah, here we are. And I might have to find some tacos on the way to the airport. Anyway, Taco About Me.
Yeah.
Super Bowl Gatorade colors are live. So what's your pick and why? And is there a strategy to this? I guess, like, you got to first, I guess, pick would be who do you think is going to win the game, right?
Correct.
And then maybe it's a team color. I guess if you think the Chiefs are going to win, maybe you go red. If you think the Niners are going to win, I guess you could go red there too, right?
All right, so we discussed this a little bit on the podcast on, I think it was Wednesday, right? Mm-hmm. About the Gatorade color. So for the longest time.
With threats to our nation waiting around every corner, adaptability is more important than ever. When conditions change without notice, quick strategic thinking is crucial. And with obstacles consistently impending, determination is essential in overcoming them. It's this willingness, decisiveness, and resilience that sets Marines apart. With our fighting spirit, we don't just fight battles, we win them. Marines are the constant our nation counts on to fight the unknown. And through adaptable problem solving, we do just that. Learn more at marines.com.
There's no such thing as never or always, right? But it was pretty close to matching the jersey of the winning team. And when I say that, I mean that typically yellow Gatorade, red Gatorade, and orange Gatorade stain white jerseys. So if you're a team that wears a white jersey, better. And you drink Gatorade on the side, because Gatorade, believe it or not, doesn't always make your mouth, right?
It falls. Imagine that. Yeah. Through the mouthpiece and a mask.
It's really the cups of Gatorade, right? You just like pour it, it just spills everywhere. So no one wants a jersey in the Super Bowl, anytime really, a white jersey with Gatorade stains on it of yellow, red, and orange. Now, blue doesn't stain as bad, purple doesn't stain as bad. So if you look at the Super Bowl winners, the Chiefs had orange last time, they were red. Mm-hmm. Last year it was blue or purple. The year before that it was blue or purple. The year before that it was blue or purple, right? Because those are the colors that most often do not stain the jersey for. It's not an always and never, but go down the list. You see when someone wears a dark colored uniform, they typically will get the yellows, the oranges. When they're wearing a light colored uniform, blue, purple, clear. There's one exception. There was one had an orange, I think, that wore a white uniform. But that's how I do this. So if you think Chiefs are going to win, I go orange again. It's what they wore. Excuse me, it's what they had in 2019. A lot of teams don't change the Gatorade color. So like, it's like the Chiefs are going to do a random color. But that's what I go with, orange.
So I guess the answer to the final question is yes, there is an actual strategy.
Yes.
And you just heard it laid out.
That's a strategy, of course. Low limits, this is a fun wager.
Right.
But my favorite Gatorade story is the one that Jared Lorenzen told a friend. Jared Lorenzen, former quarterback, Giants quarterback. And he said, he told a friend relayed this, not Jared Lorenzen, but someone that knew Jared Lorenzen very closely after he passed, said that in 2007, when he was with the Giants, mm-hmm. he went and looked at the Gatorade color before the game. He opened the top of the Gatorade, the big jug, and looked at the color and texted his buddies on what it would be. And obviously, again, limits are low.
Right.
Probably like a lot of money on it, but legend, a gambling legend
that's,
for doing that.
That's beautiful. Yeah, that's funny. Hey, $10, $20, $25, you buy yourself a couple slices of pizza or a couple cheeseburgers, something like that. It's
fantastic.
Any chance
the bookmakers lose, we're for it, right?
Exactly right. Exactly right. Next question. A little more dialed into the game here from Hone DA. Why are the lines moving to +2 with all of the bets on Kansas City? Is the San Francisco future liability that bad? I believe the second part of that, yes, I think the liability for the Niners is that bad, because I think when they had that middle of the season little lull where they lost 3 in a row and they kind of drifted, I think, close to 8, 9, 10 to 1 or so, I think a lot of people did wager on San Francisco there. But I think also the line moving to 2, I think the early wagering when the line opened up at 2 or whatever it was, and a lot of people did bet on Kansas City then,
right.
and the line dropped. And I think we've then seen a lot of people just professional bettors betting the number.
Right.
And now you have an opportunity to bet San Francisco at 1, 1.5. And I think that has driven the number back to 2 after the initial barrage of Chiefs money early on. And I thought earlier in the week as well, I saw that the Superbook actually had gone to click to 2.5, which tells me they're getting even more 49er money. But it's one of those, it's a fascinating game, because I think it shows that's kind of the difference between an odds maker and a bookmaker. Like a bookmaker, like you need to kind of balance, the number is just, it's not always just a straight power rating symbol. Other factors like parlay liability, future liability, all these other things potentially come into play to try and figure out the best way to put the book in the house in a position where they're going to have the best possible outcome for it financially.
We also talked about, Bear, and this is worth discussing, the power rankings, right? Where, you know, the power rankings have the Niners, depending on who you look at, right? 1.5, 2, 2.5. And a lot of the syndicates that move the number, right, they just wager off of that. They're not looking at the things that me and you might look at, right, as far as matchups and things we like or don't like about teams. They look at their rankings. They see, look, okay, we have this game here. It's not here. Let's wager on this. And that obviously moves the line in one direction. Is there also a thought that maybe someone's trying to get the line to go to 2.5 or 3 to buy back on the Chiefs?
Yes, absolutely.
So can you explain that process to people about how the syndicates, again, not just like the regular, you know, there's of course in the Super Bowl, there's a lot of $15, $20, $25 wagers. We're talking about the people that bet six figures that move the number. Explain sort of the buyback on that.
Yeah, no, they'll put in an amount of money that will move the line to a desired number, like that they'll want to take Kansas City at +3. I'm just using this for an example. Like if the Niners are 2.5 and they're looking to get the Chiefs +3, they'll throw in enough money to to kind of get that number to three. And then the instant that happens, their real bet yes. will come in on Kansas City plus three. So they figured out their way of here's what we're going to outlay to get the line to three. And then once we get the line to three, that's when our real bet's going to come in, and the difference will obviously be the potential profit there. But yeah, that is line manipulating certainly goes on. And it's, hey, I would say, like, the biggest advantage that we have as bettors is we don't have to bet on every single game.
Yeah.
But the books have to put a number up on every single game. So if you find a situation where you can get a desired number by kind of your action, take advantage of it.
Yeah, and that's obviously a part of this that doesn't get talked about enough, you know, the, how people can move the numbers. And look, I am, over the years, I was big into like, oh, the public versus sharp kind of split. Mm-hmm. And I think I've moved away from that in recent years because I have an opinion on a game. And look, there's some years you're good, some years you're bad, but I feel like I'm okay enough to just trust my gut on a lot of it. And I would rather be on the non-public side for the most part. But in a game like this, everyone's wagering on it. So to me, the public versus sharp split, again, I know sharp people, syndicates that are on the Chiefs. I know some that are on the Niners. Like, you can't let that, in my opinion, inform what you're going to do in this game.
And that's the thing, like, when you see those tweets and stories about, like, ticket count, a lot of times some of these ticket counts are just kind of moving, just kind of
$25.
Like, dumped, it's
not as big in this game, I don't think.
All right, next one from 80 J-Rod. I know Jay. I've interacted with J-Rod on Twitter before. J-Rod's a big tennis guy, like me. Are there any player props you'd like a ladder up on? CMC rush yard, perhaps. So, you know what he's talking about?
I believe so, yeah.
Basically, say you like Christian McCaffrey to have 80-plus rushing yards or whatever, and then you can bet 80, you bet 90, you go up the ladder at plus money. So I think CMC rush yards is something that you'd want to look at to maybe get an alt number at a higher number to get some plus money. I think that's something.
So you would hit it. You would hit it at over 89.5, and then over 100, and over
exactly, and get plus money as you continue to go up. Oof. Like is it?
I think I'm more conservative. Where like I just will just take the one wager and be done with it.
Okay,
like
and that's fair.
Like or I just might take the plus one. The 110 plus 150 and just be done with it.
Would there be something that earlier in the week we had talked about Juice and his receiving yardage prop? I don't know what they are. I don't know what they are, but like I know there is with the over under with him. Like I wonder if there is like a whatever his what was it 9.5? Is that what the is your four
Juice?
Yeah,
it was 3.5.
3.5. So like I wonder if there is like a. An over 10.5 or an over 15.5. I'm just spitballing here.
Yeah. So do you take one unit on like the over the original number and then do you take, is it like 3/4 of a unit?
Yeah,
the
yeah,
next
yeah,
one,
yeah
the
you
half
can do
unit,
whatever you want.
One?
Yeah. Yeah. That's how I would do it. I would do it like three.
It terrifies me to have so many wagers on one player. Cause I feel like if things don't go well, especially at that running back position where sometimes the ball, they don't mm-hmm. have the ball off to them. We talked about injuries often happen at that mm-hmm. position that having so much on one player would terrify
I
me.
Think,
my personal.
I think at the same time as well, some people might argue differently in saying we're handicapping the game. We've handicapped the game, and this is our handicap for the game that Rasheed Rice, George Kittle, Christian, they are going to have a big game and put all of the other, like that's the only thing I'm going to focus on is this one player, and maybe that feels that they give him would Rasheed Rice would that be something that you would interest?
I mean,
in
I have his overs already. Mm-hmm. Look, the thing is, if the game doesn't go the way I think it's going to go, I'm going to lose all my wagers. I mean, it's just like so. I understand saying okay, CMC's going to have these many mm-hmm. yards, all ladder up on his with Rasheed Rice. I have his over. But maybe I'm not technical enough in my head to like be like, well, he's going to have between 80 and 100 yards. I'm just like over mm-hmm. 68.5 done. Like I'm good with just winning that wager and moving on.
Perfectly fair. And yeah. I tend to be a little bit more conservative like you with that, but I will look for like I like an underdog. Like I will play like reverse lines and lay 3.5 with the dog at plus money and things like that. So I don't necessarily get too crazy with this player prop ladder, but I certainly appreciate people who do. Next one, and this we kind of talked about this earlier in the week as well, and I like it from Rich Spinardi. Is the say it out loud test still viable? You get Spags, Reed, Mahomes, and 2 points. Sounds good to me. And this is kind of like what we were talking about with like the old school, just kind of say it out loud, put the check marks on the board. You're going to get Reed and Spags against Kyle and Steve Wilks. Okay, I'm going to take the multiple Super Bowl winning coach and Spags. Yeah. I get arguably the greatest quarterback or one of the greatest quarterbacks of all time, and Patrick Mahomes, who's won Super Bowls, and he's a dog, and he's great. I'll take that. I take the Chiefs defense the way that I'll take. Like, I think sometimes like the simplest handicap like that. Like, I'm a big Occam's Razor guy. Like sometimes the most. The answer is the most obvious answer and the obvious path. Like it's there right in front of you. Don't overthink it. I'm a big fan of don't overthink it. Sometimes I think a lot of times we kind of go a little bit too crazy. I'm a big fan of the say it out loud, talk it through, and just use a little common sense.
So you're changing your pick to the Chiefs?
No. No, because I'm using it on the other side. I'm thinking it through and saying it out loud. I get all of those 49ers weapons in this game, and I think the Chiefs defense is going to be a little stretched to be able to take all of them away in an indoor environment like that, where you're not going to have to worry about weather, wind, anything like that, and that the 49ers will not be behind like they were in the first in their two NFC playoff games. I think the odds of the team, it's been power rated number one, number two all year long, coming out and playing three subpar games in the biggest stage. I think the Niners win.
Yeah, I mean, to me, I said I bet Chiefs money line almost immediately, because it came down to very simply, I get Patrick Mahomes or Brock Purdy. I mean, that was my first initial pick of this game. Was like, I get then. Obviously, we've dove into more. I'm totally comfortable having that. I even have a Chiefs future Super Bowl. I'm not hedging off of that. Not yet. Maybe I will on Sunday. But like, I think you look at this matchup and you say, well, one team is one on the road at Buffalo. One team's one on the road at Baltimore. One defense is playing well. One defense, by the way, like the Niners defense has not played terribly well in the last six games. I get the better coach, in my opinion. I get the sort of better quarterback and better, maybe the Niners are top heavy, but the Chiefs have more depth on their roster.
Makes sense.
CMC, Debo, but I mean, Jude Tranquil came in and had an amazing, like, the Niners don't have that, in my opinion, on defense. So, but that's what I went with, at least originally. I think that if that's your only take about this game, then you're probably not doing enough research, enough analysts about the game. But at the simplest blush, I took Chiefs money line for that reason.
And the great thing about what you're just saying about you have Chiefs futures, I have Chiefs futures and I have Niners futures. That was something that we were talking about all year long with Sammy P, like the opportunity to buy at a low point when these teams are struggling, like we did with San Francisco, like we did with Kansas City, knowing that these teams were going to be in the playoffs and you're going to be sitting there potentially Super Bowl Sunday with a pretty nice portfolio where you don't even have to make a wager on a money line or a side in this game, knowing that regardless of how it turns out, you're going to be cashing in a bunch of futures.
Yeah, the future. So, like, I don't know. I'm not anti-hedge bear. I hedged once. I had a big future on Tampa Bay when they won the year that Tom Brady won the Super Bowl, because I knew he was going there.
I remember
there.
We were talking.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so I had like a plus 1,200, which was really good at the time. I think I bought a little bit on Kansas City, but I think I thought the Chiefs were going to lose. I didn't do that much. But I'm not like a hedging person. I don't know.
And as some people like to say, hedging is for gardeners.
Yeah. It doesn't appeal to me. We're going to get to another question here later on that's going to explain sort of, I probably should have hedged on an opportunity. I did not. I just don't like it.
Usually it depends on the stake and the amount that we're talking about here. Like if it's a $50 wager, like, you know what, usually a couple hundred back, let it ride. But like, if you're putting in a significant amount for something and you're going to win a significant, at the very least, I'll bet my stake in order basically to have a free roll in
Yeah.
And do that. I don't want to get too much into potential profit, because you'll lose enough of these bets Correct. Anyway, where an opportunity to make a large chunk, yes. you don't want to eat into that.
Correct.
So, shall we move on?
Yeah, because this is going to come up in the next question.
UGA steam engine, UGA steam engine. I already have a bit. I'm wondering if that refers to University of Georgia. I would assume so.
Yeah.
I already bet Georgia to win the national title last. And we're probably the best team in the country again this year, but they lost at the wrong time, and we had the Orange Bowl.
Not a problem anymore.
Not a problem anymore. We got a thing. The worst bad beat of all time.
For us individually, I would imagine.
I would imagine that's what the worst one we've had. The worst one I think that I have had, and it's a non-like, I would say it is horse racing related.
Okay.
I was alive in 2003 or 2004 in a pick six in Hollywood Park that had like a 5 or a 6 day carryover in it. And there was $4 million, $5 million in the pool or whatever. And I was alive into the last leg of the pick six to a single ticket for like $3 million. And another horse that I had, I was alive to like $1.3 million or something like that. And I had two horses in the race. I did not have the favorite. And the two horses, one of the two that I bet was like 20 something to one. That was the one that was a pool payout. Yeah. Drew the rail, hesitated at the start, kind of got left. It was a debut runner. And then kind of made a big middle move and looked like it was going to get, but just got tired and flattened out. The other bet was the second choice in the race and was in it kind of at the top of the stretch and then faded and got beat. So to be alive for well into six figures was a brutal beat. However, what makes it an even worse beat is that the horse that was on the rail, the debut runner, the horse's name was Aaron Asher. I liked the horse, and then I like this horse figures, this horse fits at this level. And then what ultimately happened, the next time out, Aaron Asher ran again and was 20-something to one and won.
Oh, no.
Yeah, yeah. I did bet the horse to win that day.
So you got some money back.
But it was not $3 million. So, yeah, I handicapped the race right. It was just not meant to be.
Jeez.
I meant to be that day. So that was a stomach punch right there.
So this was probably 6 years ago now. There was an offshore website.
There are a lot of those.
No longer with us, that offered
10 nickels.
10 team open parlays.
10 nickels, right?
Yeah. And it was I never heard 10 nickels before, but yeah, sure. That's right, yeah. And they had 10 team open parlays.
Okay.
And so what an open parlay is you just can, you have open slots. So you build it, you start with two teams, or however many you want, mm-hmm. and then you just add teams as you see fit to get to 10 eventually, mm-hmm. right? Now, this is a $20 wager, because these never hit, right? You just do them for fun. It was the summer, too, so it was a lot of baseball. So I had hit 9 in a row. That was 9 for 9.
Okay. Right.
So it's paying out 106 to 1. So it's a good payday, right? For $20 wager. So I needed one more game. I hit a Yankees Red Sox under for Sunday Night Baseball to get to 9 wins. Okay. So Monday there was nothing I liked in baseball. Tuesday, the Minnesota Lynx were hosting the Indiana Fever. Okay. The Minnesota Lynx were -1500 on the money line to win that game.
No, you didn't.
They're at home. Facing the 2-17 Indiana Fever. All right, Bear? So I put the last leg, I put the Lynx in the last leg. -1500. So the payout, I just wanted to win. Like,
it was the money at this point.
It was 111 to 1. So the game's not on TV. I didn't know where to watch it. So I remember I was sitting, playing with my son, with like looking up the scores, and the Lynx were losing early on. I'm like, okay, cool, whatever. They were losing at halftime. So I put money, Lynx second half. Bear, they lost by like 20. And it was like, it was Indiana's only road win of the season and like the Lynx's only home loss of the season. Because the Lynx were back then winning championships, right? -1500 favorite.
Oh, it happens.
Lost at home to a 2-win team and blew up my 10-team moneyline parlay.
Oh, it. You look at those prices and y'all, there's no way they're going to lose it. The other night in college basketball, I remember
someone lost. Yeah,
Santa Clara was -1800 or something at home against San Diego. San Diego went in. I think San Diego won by double digits. It happened.
College basketball happens more often than professional basketball. That was bad, buddy.
It happened in the NBA a few weeks ago as well. My buddy had a big money line parlay with
the Celtics have been big.
No, it was the Timberwolves and the Hornets, I think. I think the Timberwolves lost at home to the Hornets.
Yeah. Oh, there we go, Hornets.
Yeah.
The Lakers were in town Monday, too, and LeBron and AD both played. I was bummed. I wasn't there. That was a bummer. I go to one game a year. I go to the Lakers game every year. So, yeah. Ugh.
Next question from the Action Network HQ.
Action Network.
Did you have Chad Millman or?
I had both of them. Yeah, I had all of them. I texted them all of them.
Evan Abrams. So
my old employers.
Chad and Evan, former colleagues at former employers.
Oh yeah,
love both those guys. What's the most random thing you've ever bet on? Well, I bet on pickleball the other night, which was fun. Agassi and Graf versus Sharapova and Johnny Mack.
During COVID, you bet on
it went well.
Russian table tennis, right?
I did not bet on Russian table tennis.
Oh, I thought you did.
No. I bet on Little League World Series before.
Yeah, I've done that.
I bet on that, and that was always fun and entertaining to do.
So one night we're watching the spelling bee, my wife and I, and I said, "You know, we could wager on this, probably."
Good for you.
And so I went onto the website. We call it 10 nickels, though. You called it 10 nickels. And we picked a random kid and they won. So I bet on the spelling bee one night just to have some.
I'm watching it. I want to have action.
Just have some action on it. So spelling bee for me is the Little League World Series used to actually, because again, I worked at Action Network and we covered all those things, right? And there are edges to be had. It was a little bit better, you know, 10 years ago or whatever than it is now when more people are eyeballs on. But Little League World Series, you can make money on it.
Oh, no. I had a buddy who his dad, like, watched all of, like, the regionals and everything and, like, knew, like, which kids were unhittable and like, the end. It was hysterical to get his breakdowns and like, see them actually, like, turn out to be, like, spot on. So, I'd love to hear, like, people chime in. I'd love to hear some of the more ridiculous stuff that people have bet on because I mean, it's I wouldn't even like call like these like Super Bowl props, like the halftime, the novelty props.
Yeah.
What's Usher's first song going to be? And like all that. Like,
the limits are so low.
Yeah. Like they're not even, but yeah, I'd love to know some of the other stuff besides, like the Russian ping pong and table tennis during COVID. I mean, I bet on some. A lot of ridiculous things in soccer and team totals and
I know you text
different leagues around the world, and AFCON is going on right now, so I've been on a lot of AFCON stuff. So maybe not ridiculous like wagers, but certainly events that are a little bit off the beaten path a little bit. I want to go to AFCON next year. It's in Morocco next year.
I think you make enough money to fly to Morocco. You want Fox to fly you to Morocco?
If Fox wants to fly me to Morocco, I'd be more than happy to have Fox fly me to Morocco to go to the African Cup of Nations in there.
The text you sent me that when you told your wife about going to I don't think she's going with you.
No. I asked my wife. I said, you want to go to Morocco with me next year for African Cup of Nations, and the response was F no. She doesn't like. She's not a soccer person, but she would.
She wouldn't want to go for trip.
She would want to go.
My wife
for the
would
trip.
Go with me. Like
and then I followed it up with, "Can I go?" And she goes, "Yeah, you and your divorce lawyer." So I just don't think she wants me to spend a couple of weeks in Morocco watching soccer, which is mean.
That is mean.
Because she was going to come to Australia. And then the U.S. women lost this pet, and then
she was going to come for the
come for a bit at the end of the trip as well, and then U.S. women lost and kind of derailed some plans. So it's all right. We love to travel, so she loves to travel.
Yeah. I think by the time this comes out, you won't even be in the States.
Correct. This is a Friday release, right?
Yeah.
I'll be en route to Providenciales, Turks and Caicos.
Love it there.
Our employer has a question. The NFL on Fox.
Yeah.
What's the best football movie of all time? For me, it's the original Longest Yard, Burt Reynolds, Paul Crewe, Mean Machine. Nothing better than that.
How many people listening to this
know what the hell I'm talking about?
No, have actually seen that movie. Listening to the podcast,
I'm gonna go definitely under. So whatever the number is, under.
Because like I have my favorite football movie, which I was saying today, but I went in and looked at some list of people's favorite football movies, and I think I saw that it was 1974. The Longest Yard. Yeah. So mine's Friday Night Lights, for a couple of reasons. One is that the football is actually good. So I when I watch sports movies, I like if it's a kid's like a Sandlot thing, like whatever. Mm. Rookie of the Year. I want to see like if it's that type of movie, like good. The football was good in there. Like I need to see good football. So Friday Night Lights for me, the story and the football is pretty good. Any Given Sunday, I put up there as well. Obviously having played in the NFL, sort of seeing what happens with the James Woods character, the doctor, mm-hmm. like having sort of not been that bad, but having dealt with doctors before. So those are probably for me. I was looking at the list and I don't have an anti-Rudy take per se, Bear. You've seen Rudy, right?
Yes, I've seen Rudy.
But like the whole story, and of course, when you come to research it, it didn't actually happen, anything
correct.
Like that, which is kind of sort of changes the
whole thing. It's entertainment. And you're
entertainment, yeah. But like,
liberties.
I'm like, yeah, it wouldn't ever go like that. When I started playing football, like none of that actually would happen. So I don't dislike Rudy, but being so high on the list, on some of these lists, Bear, I'm surprised. Friday Night Lights, though, for me, is my favorite one.
I'm sure Remember the Titans is probably one that a lot
that's
of people...
That's high up there. I watched it with my kids recently. They're at the age where they can...
Actually going through the...
That. People had Jerry Maguire near the top. I mean, it's a football-adjacent movie, mm-hmm. right? Obviously.
Yeah, I could see that. I could see that.
We just watched... with my kids, we watched Little Giants recently. That was fun with the kids.
That was fun. Yeah, that was definitely fun.
Fun movie.
My wife does love Blindside, even though now controversy around that movie, so I didn't even want to mention it. But I enjoy Blindside.
It's a good movie.
I enjoy that movie.
I think that's it. I'm talking of other movies. Does it have to be like, is Jerry Maguire a football movie or is it a movie about
football? I think it's a movie about football and the business and football. Yeah. Jerry Maguire is good.
It's a great movie. For Friday Night Lights, like I'm thinking of this too. Like, if it's on TV, which of the movies am I going to watch immediately? And Friday Night Lights is going to be that one.
Perfect.
Yeah.
The Kylie Winfrey chimes in next. Who has the best mascot in the NFL?
I love mascot questions.
All right.
Mm. Let me think. Because they don't have. It's not like college football. They don't have a lot of the live mascots. The best mascot in the NFL. It's definitely not the Eagles. You know, Chelsea, it's not the Eagles. Who's the best? I mean,
Vikings.
Vikings have a great one.
Vikings might be
so
my
like,
choice there.
To me, here's the best uniform in the NFL is the Raiders, in my opinion. Second best might be the Niners.
I love the Niners uniform.
So to me, if any of the Raiders have the best uniform, they probably have to be up there as far as like best mascot, right? Because it's obviously the helmet and the colors, like that's mm-hmm. part of the idea of like, you know, the Autumn Wind is a Raider, like all the NFL films, videos I grew up watching. Like, I feel like the Raiders probably for me win this, even though again, it's not about the mascot, it's more about the uniform and who they are. But I feel like that's my answer, maybe.
Mascot, it's the Viking.
The Viking for
Viking,
you?
Viking for me, yes. Uniforms, I go Niners 1, Steelers 2. I love this because it's just
classic,
classic traditional, hasn't changed over time. Like, you know what it is.
So I think of like, does any NFL team have a live mascot?
Is there a jaguar floating around?
Because think about how many live mascots in college. Like, there's a tiger. There's a steer.
There's plenty of bulldogs.
There's dogs.
There are war eagle birds.
Yep. Well, technically, Auburn's mascot's not an eagle.
It's
though.
Not the war. Yeah, I know. It's not. Yeah, well, Auburn Tigers, but war eagle is in the circles.
It is kind of interesting. Like, they're like an eagle, sort of like
Ralphie.
Yeah, Ralphie. I want to do a Ralphie run one time. We interviewed the handler for Ralphie, and she said we can never do it. unless you're like, they wouldn't let Dion do it. Like, he's not only if you've been a handler, you can actually do that. It's a major there. Like, it's a big, it's obviously very
it's a big
important.
Deal.
Yeah. There's no live mascots, right? I mean, does Seattle have a hawk? They fly a hawk before a game?
No, they got the 12s and they ring that bell or whatever it is. Or
yeah, there's no live mascots, huh? The Lions should have a lion next season.
I want the Lion to have a lion. The Lions to have a lion. The Bears to have a bear. You send a big grizzly bear out there to
just have it roam the field beforehand.
Just mean people.
No live mascots. Panthers bring a panther. There are a lot of mean mascots. We could have like a.
I was going to say there are plenty of mean ones. It's just they're not actually real, but
yeah,
that's why the Viking just kind of looks.
It's a great mascot. Cool. The skull chant's pretty cool.
Yes, very cool.
Yeah.
Very, very cool. Speaking of the Steelers, Steeler fan RJH, which team has the best stadium in the NFL? I want you to start because I want to know, as a player, like the player viewpoint, which best stadium like to play in from like a surface, best stadium like as a road team, like the stadium you least liked going to. Give me some like a player.
Okay, so I've been out now for like 7 years. So a lot of the new stadiums I didn't play in, obviously. The newest one I think I played in with the time was I played in Dallas. I played in Arizona, which is sort of fairly new at the time. Okay, so when I played, the worst was easily Oakland Coliseum. Like not a question. The Oakland Coliseum Bear, the visiting locker room was the same as the visiting clubhouse for baseball. So it's the same size, except we have double the personnel, like triple the personnel, obviously. And the toilets were bad, it backed up. But for the most part, NFL locker rooms, road locker rooms were pretty okay. College is where you get the variance of like just ridiculous visiting locker rooms. Cal's locker room at Memorial Stadium was just atrocious. It was the worst locker room I've ever seen in my life. I think it was on purpose, right? They try to make it as bad as possible. The best NFL stadiums to me are the ones I like the atmosphere the most, right? So, again, I've only played in some of them.
Mm-hmm.
I think I played in 31 before I retired, so I've been to most of them. So, obviously, some games are more impactful, some were others. I know the Chiefs, I'm a Chiefs fan, have the record for the loudest stadium in the NFL. I was there when we set the record originally as a Chiefs, mm-hmm. when I was in 2013. And it's not a great method for determining which is the loudest field. So what they did is they basically put the Guinness World Record guy with a microphone like in the corner of the end zone and said like, cheer now, everyone, okay? And we broke the record for noise at the end of the game when we were winning by a lot and the stadium wasn't even full. So I'm kind of like, the Guinness guy's got to come to the midfield at midfield on 3rd and 10 and tell me what's the loud stadium. Mm-hmm. To me, it's Seattle. Seattle, New Orleans, Kansas City, a lot of stadiums. New Orleans is very fun to play in because the Superdome is kind of funky. The seats are multicolored and like, you mm-hmm. know, try to hide people not being there. And so most pro stadiums are pretty bland. I mean, college is where you get the atmospheres. To me, the Rose Bowl will never be beat as far as setting and atmosphere. They have great locker rooms there as well. So long-winded answer to say, I mean, the Rose Bowl is my favorite ever. In the NFL, Seattle, New Orleans, Kansas City, just like the loudness. I'll tell you what, Philly, we played their two night games with the Giants. That place is raucous, man.
Yes.
Philly gets loud and crazy. Atlanta's, Dallas, sort of Arizona, big stadiums, but and it's not really loud for being a dome. Ford Field is kind of interesting because it's a dome, but it has a flat roof.
It's kind of like SoFi.
Most domes sort of have like a bubble-ish mm-hmm. sort of. Ford Field is flat. It's kind of interesting setup, but that's my stadium rundown. Do you have a favorite? You're on the college football. Do you have a favorite college football stadium?
Outside of the Orange Bowl, which is no longer in existence, nothing will ever top the Orange Bowl. LSU Tiger Stadium in Baton Rouge is the best.
That's my dream. That's one of my list of awesome. Like LSU night games on my list of things to attend.
And I know it sounds like an easy answer, and I will say this, and I'm not just saying it because you are sitting next to me. Autzen is sneaky. If you've never, I always tell people, if you can get to Autzen, do it. Because it's a very cool,
it's fun.
Cool little stadium and
Oregon does it well.
with the roof over it and like the sounds. Wow. And UW is like that too, Washington. is a very
yeah, it's Washington.
And the setting on like Washington yeah, there with the boats.
Washington. No one likes Washington.
But NFL, I mean, obviously Lambeau is. I'm a traditionalist like that. I think it's more of the, maybe not the.
Well,
it's just like everything about like the community in Lambeau like makes it that for me.
So Lambeau was fun because when you walked. Again, it's like a very small tunnel for the visitors.
Yes.
And then obviously the Packers have sort of expanded their tunnel a little bit. As you walk out there and you feel the history in the stadium because it's the original bowl is still there in the bottom. And you can see where they've added on sort of like, mm-hmm. you know, piece by piece. And it's just cool because you're like, wow, this is like, there's no stadiums like, I mean, look, the Chiefs have an old stadium.
That's how Notre Dame Stadium used to be too. Like, but when they put the outer shell yeah. on it, they used to have like the original brick.
Yeah. So like, because look, Chiefs have an old stadium. Bills have an old stadium. I mean, that's like it, right? I mean, who else has like an old, the Superdome, I guess, sort of is older. But everyone plays in like a newer stadium.
We, so need,
like,
we need Shea Stadium back. I spent far too many times.
Shea Stadium?
That was interesting.
I put in City
Field. Jets moved from Shea in 84. I think they moved to the Meadowlands Giant Stadium. 84, 85. That was, Shea was...
Bring the stick
interesting.
Back.
Oh, see, now you're talking. We need like a Berman or someone here, or get Terry to talk. We need Terry on the next. So talk about Three Rivers.
I grew up a Niners fan, and the Candlestick was the only stadium I never went to as an NFL player.
I can imagine the weather there could just have been absolutely miserable.
I missed a preseason game there with the Vikings. I was hurt. And then we never played in San Francisco. I played the Niners at home in Carolina. I played them at home with the Giants. I just never went to San Francisco.
You get Howie, too. You guys can talk about Oakland Coliseum. I'm sure he's got some great stories.
Oakland Coliseum is I mean, I get why they left. I mean, like, I get why they're going. I mean, it's not.
I remember the stuff. I remember, it was someone when one of the road baseball announcers were talking about like rats like running in their radio booth.
It's just,
and you wonder why they're leaving.
Yeah.
Old Cleveland Municipal Stadium.
Yeah, I never did that. That's why I liked when I went to Buffalo a couple weeks ago at Highmark Stadium mm-hmm. to watch the Chiefs play and Bills play. I like the vibe of the old. That's why I like the Rose Bowl so much. Like, I like because. I go to games just to watch a game. I'm not there for the food. I'm not there for the and like those places are just set up to watch football. The Arrowhead is just there to watch football.
Seattle's nice. I for the longest time I kept saying Seattle needs to get in the mix for like a college football playoff game because that is a really really
it's outside in January.
Who cares? So what?
Well, look.
Last time you play football outside.
I just know this that. For the foreseeable future, we don't have to worry about Washington hosting a playoff game.
I wouldn't think so. Yeah. Can't wait to see what the Huskies' win total is next year.
I'll go under.
I believe I will too.
Under Colorado, under Washington, out west, maybe under USC, under UCLA.
Georgia's going to be an interesting one because they have their three road. They have Ole Miss on the road. They got Texas on the road, and they got someone else on the road that is.
I know we're talking. We're
no, no, this is great.
It's going to be like all of them are going to be different this year because like, you know, like Oregon has Michigan, Ohio State, and Washington. Like it's a different vibe now for these win totals. Like you play tougher schedules for the SEC and Big Ten opponents.
Like they had one other road games. I forget what the heck it was.
They're at Bama, right? No, yeah. Bama's at home. They're at home for Bama.
Full schedule. Here we go. Full football schedule, 2024. Here we go. Yeah, Clemson early. There's another at Bama. It is at Bama. So they're at Bama. They're at Ole Miss, and they're at Texas. Like I'm curious what they like. Do they put
10.5?
Oh, I was gonna say if they post 10.5, I'll probably still go over. I'll probably post 11. Probably post 11.
When do these come out? April.
I'm sure some. I'm sure one of the offshore books will.
NFL win totals come out in April too. So
I'm sure they'll post one of these offshore books for do a little PR kind of release. So anyway, I think we've talked enough college for now.
We have one more question. This one seems unimportant, but you're
welcome. Do we have time for one more question or not?
You're welcome to hit it.
Someone by the name of Chelsea Walker has chimed in. I don't know this individual at all. What are the odds Jason Kelce will be playing Week 1 with the Eagles in Brazil? what are the odds that this particular person will be involved in Bear Bets podcast week one when the Eagles are playing in Brazil?
Just drive it. Just
We love our producer, Chelsea Walker.
So here's the thing about Kelsey. It's interesting. So
just winding her up.
A lot of players say at the end of the season, I'm going to retire. And then they spend a month drinking at football games and having the best time of your life. And then you realize, like, March and April, when your body starts feeling better and OTAs are coming up soon, Bear, and the weather gets a little bit warmer and the joints feel better and you're wearing your family for a while, you're like, I got to go back to work. And so I think Kelsey probably thinks he's going to retire. Obviously, the way he talked after the game, they lost the game.
Sounded like
he was going to retire. I think right now, if I were to wager on it, I'd say yes, he will retire. But I don't think it's a foregone conclusion he's going to retire. Now, part of players like him and his situation is I'm sure the Eagles want to know before free agency, before the draft, are you retiring, are you not retiring? Because they need to figure out what they're going to do, right? If he's not going to play, then you got to put Juergens in and you draft a right guard, right? What do you do?
He's got to know.
So I'd imagine it comes sooner or later, but I think that a lot of players, again, say, I'm retiring. They have a month where they just, their body, they go hang out, they enjoy life, and then when you get back into routine, you realize, I can still play football. Mm-hmm. But he looked like he was done at the end of the season. Like, his mannerisms, the way he played, his emotions after the game, I think, if I would wager on it, I think he's done playing football.
Will Travis Kelce retire at the end of the year?
I do not think so, no.
Okay.
Why? Why would
he
retire?
I
don't think he retires.
Maybe we have a league with no Kelsey.
They're gonna get any job they want in the offseason, except Bear Bats podcast.
Well, those two spots are unavailable.
Yeah. Look, if they retire now, I mean, again, they would have any media job they wanted. They know that. But you're always going to have that. It's not going to change. If both play one more year, the media job's still going to be there next season. So,
and probably more media jobs will be there as the NFL gets more media partners involved in the league.
I think Travis will stay longer because of Mahomes. And just if they can find a couple wide receivers in the offseason, there won't be as much burden on him this next season. Again, the same thing happens. Like, this time of year, I would imagine he's a little bit beat up, right? It's a long season. He's 34, I believe. He's played a lot of football. He gets to the Super Bowl, win or lose. He
probably wasn't hurt. I mean, probably wasn't healthy really all year because he started the year hurt.
And he hurt his ankle at some point this season. And Mahomes mentioned the rest really helped him, and he'll rest obviously this week, the week 18 rest. I'd imagine, look, he goes and follows Taylor for a month, and then he comes back and realizes, like, I'm ready to play football again. So I think Travis plays. I think Jason probably doesn't. I was looking at the Pro Bowl, by the way, where Jason was at. If he had lost a bunch of weight already, that's a good sign. You know, like, if you lost, and I don't think he had. So I don't think he plays. It's my guess.
I'm hoping, like your theory about, like, saying you're retiring, saying you're taking time, I'm hoping that convinces Jurgen Klopp, Liverpool manager, to say, you know what? Sorry, not, just kidding. Not taking a year off. I'm staying it.
Who's happening? Who's doing what now?
The Liverpool Football Club. The manager, Jurgen Klopp.
What is that?
English Premier League.
Oh, okay. No,
I'll
watch Ted Lasso. Come on. I know.
Yeah, but speaking of coaches, where are you? And Andy Reid, what do you think? You think there's any smoke to this?
Only one person is reporting this. And that's it. One person.
Okay.
Who's a conspiracy theorist who covers the NFL. It's one person who's doing this.
I'm just saying.
Andy Reid, he's 62, 63?
He's a football coach. And he's got Patrick Mahomes.
This is the thing about it. So a lot of these guys, like, their entire life, they coach football. It's all they know how to do. It's why when you see coaches retire, they go back a year later. It's like all they know how to do, right? And Andy Reid right now has it set. He's making, obviously, the money to him is not important. But he's in Kansas City. That's his building. It's his place. He's going to the AFC Championship every single season. The best quarterback in the NFL. Why would he stop? Like, why would he stop? He has his grandkids nearby. Obviously, his family's, like, I don't think there's any bone in his body that, he's
going to stop. I agree with you. I just thought I'd throw it out there because there was that individual out there who brought that up.
Who's a conspiracist, a conspiracy theorist about the NFL. That person doesn't actually like the NFL, I think. There's no way you like the NFL to talk about the NFL like that.
True. I wouldn't disagree with that. Yeah. But
right there.
It's nothing on the backside of the paper. Any other ridiculousness that you'd like to get out there?
I want to know what player was attacked by the coyote. Now, we're recording this, to be fair, on Tuesday.
Yes.
So by Friday, when this comes out,
we might know.
We might know who attacked the
what
the player.
Random player?
Yeah.
Is it a current player, a former player?
So it was. Like, it's in the Lake Las Vegas, which I didn't know existed, where the players are saying that it's a man-made lake off basically a river that runs to Lake Mead. I mean, it's just a man-made, and so that's where the players are staying for both teams. So is it a current player? I imagine current players have been told don't mess with the coyotes.
Right. I would hope so.
But like, if you see a coyote walking, is the player like, hey, coyote, and like walks up to like it's a dog? Like I don't think the coyote is like running after a human like that.
I wouldn't think so.
I need to know the backstory about this.
Exactly. Well, that was fun.
It was good. Thank you, the listeners.
Chime in through the off season as well. We're not going anywhere. We're here.
We got baseball.
We got baseball. We got March Madness coming up. We got golf majors. We got tennis majors. We got Triple Crown.
I can't wait to put my annual wager on Tiger Woods with the Masters. Just every
don't
year,
do
no
it.
What.
Don't do. I'll book that for you and add a couple of zeros. For Jeff, I'm Bear. Less you bet, more you lose when you win.